主与我们同在，奉耶稣基督的圣名祷告，阿们。
Amen.
弟兄姐妹请坐。
Please be seated.
Amen. Good morning.
各位弟兄姐妹早上平安。
How good it is to sing together.
我们能够一起在这里敬拜是何等的美好。
As we continue in worship, let us read God's word.
我们继续来敬拜主，我们来读神的话语。
If you could rise, we'll read it together, first in English and then in Chinese.
我们一起来起立，我们来读经文。
Mark chapter 8 and verse 1. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. Some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away.
马可福音八章一到九节，那时又有许多人聚集，并没有什么吃的。耶稣叫门徒来说：“我怜悯这众人，因为他们同我在这里已经三天，也没有吃的了。我若打发他们饿着回家，就必在路上困乏，因为其中有从远处来的。”门徒回答说：“在这野地，从哪里能得饼，叫这些人吃饱呢？”耶稣问他们说：“你们有多少饼？”他们说：“7个。”他吩咐众人坐在地上，就拿着这7个饼注谢了，掰开递给门徒，叫他们摆开。门徒就摆在众人面前。又有几条小鱼，耶稣祝了福，就吩咐也摆在众人面前。众人都吃，并且吃饱了，收拾剩下的零碎，有7筐子，人数约有4000。耶稣打发他们走了。
Let me pray for us.
我们一起低头祷告。
Our heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning.
天上的父神，我们感谢的今天早上。
And we pray that by the power of your Spirit who abides with us.
我们祷告圣灵的大能临到我们的当中。
You would give us a sense of your blessed presence.
使我们能够感受到你的临在。
Give us eyes to see and ears to hear.
使我们有心灵的眼睛可以看到，有心灵的耳朵被打开。
And hearts that are convicted of the truth.
我们的心就被真理所充满。
We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake.
我们奉耶稣基督的圣名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.
弟兄姐妹，请坐。
Sometimes we have no idea how good something is until we taste it.
有的时候我们要亲自尝尝滋味，我们才知道那里面是如何。
I remember the first time Jeremiah had cotton candy.
我记得我第一次我的小孩 Jeremiah 在吃棉花糖的时候。
It looked really funny.
他看起来样子很奇怪。
But when he tasted it, his world changed.
当他真的吃下这个棉花糖的时候，就发现滋味不一样。
He realized just how good life could be.
他就发现到原来人生还有这样的美味。
And Mr. Naaman here tells me the same thing is true about stinky tofu.
Naaman 也这样子觉得，他觉得臭豆腐好像也是这个意思。
Some people feel the same way about durian.
那也有些人觉得榴莲好像也是要这样子尝才知道味道。
There are some things you just have no idea how good they are until you taste them.
有些事情你要亲自尝尝才知道各中滋味。
In the Bible, we see generation after generation of people calling us to taste and see that God is good.
圣经上 历世历代的使徒都在告诉我们要尝尝主恩的滋味。
We just want to let go of all of our preconceived ideas. Listen to him.
我们希望能够放掉我们先入为主的成见，使我们聆听神的话语。
Now, here in this passage, people have been listening to Jesus.
在这段经文当中，人们已经开始聆听耶稣一段时间。
For 3 days.
有三天的时间。
And now they are close to fainting from hunger.
他们可能几乎饿得快要昏倒了。
Some of them have come from far away.
有的人是从远处而来的。
Why? Why would they come to the point of being about to faint from hunger?
为什么他们快要饿得快要晕了呢？
What seems to have captivated them so much that they don't even go to get something to eat?
什么东西可以使他们如此的专注，以致忘了肚子饿呢？
Apparently, Jesus is feeding them something that they didn't even know they were hungry for.
因为耶稣给他们另外一种喂养。
These people probably could not teach you much theology.
或许这些人是普通老百姓，不太懂神学。
There was probably a whole lot that they did not understand.
或许他们不是很明白一些事情。
But they knew that Jesus was giving them something which they desperately hungered for.
但是耶稣给了他们一些他们生命当中必须有的东西。
The Bible says we have an appetite for life that nothing in this world can satisfy.
圣经上说，我们在这世上要有一种属灵的胃口，这属灵的胃口世上没有一个东西可以满足我们。
No amount of money will ever be enough.
不是有关于财富，永远不够的财富的。
No amount of achievement or power will ever satisfy us.
再大的成就都不能满足你心中的渴求。
No amount of parties or relationships will ever be enough.
再多的聚会，再多的情感，都还是不能满足你心中的渴望。
These are all good things that God created.
上帝创造这些事情使我们满足，都是好的事情。
We see people all over the world trying to get more and more and more and yet never getting enough.
但是我们看到这世上的人不停地在追求，但是他们心中却仍然空虚匮乏。
I've been there, done that.
我自己就是这样的例子。
I still struggle.
我仍然在挣扎。
The other day, I spent an entire hour on the internet looking at all the garage tools that I do not have.
不久之前，我还花了一个小时的时间，一直在网上寻找我最爱的工具。
Last week, when we drove to Waco, Melissa and I, we passed a farming supply center.
在上周，我开车去 Waco 的时候，看到一个专卖农村工具的地方。
And I said, if I could just get one of those tractors.
所以我心里就想说，如果我可以买到那一台拖拉机是真好。
The kind with air conditioning.
而且那台拖拉机上面有冷气啊。
Now for you, it may not be toys in your garage.
对你来说，或许不是你所喜欢的工具。
Might be a promotion at work.
可能是你工作上的晋升。
If I could just get that promotion, I'd be set.
如果我升上去，我人生就满足了。
Might be a relationship.
或者是你的关系。
If I could just get married, then my life would be complete.
如果我可以结婚的话，我的生命就完整了。
Or if I could just get into that college, that school, I would be set. I'd be satisfied.
或者是我可以去那个理想的学校，我的人生就可以了。
If I could just get the iPhone 13.
或者是我拿到最新的 iPhone 13。
If I could just bench 200 pounds.
或者是我可以举起200磅的重铁。
If I could just get first chair in the orchestra.
或者是我是在交响乐团的第一把小提琴手。
But we all know it'll never ever be enough.
但是我们心里都知道，这样的追求是永无止境的。
We will always want more.
我们总是想要更多。
Our appetite for life seems insatiable.
好像我们对生命的这种渴求是永远无法被浇熄的。
But Jesus says here that he himself can satisfy us.
但是耶稣说他自己可以满足你的渴求。
Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst.
耶稣基督说，我就是生命的粮，到我这里来的必定不饿，信我的永远不渴。
Here in this story, they gathered up 7 large baskets full of leftovers.
在故事当中，剩余的收起来足足有七筐子。
God loves to create good things and give them in abundance.
上帝给予的总是丰丰富富，并有剩余。
He loves to bring new life and new healing.
他喜爱将生命、将医治赐给我们。
It gives him great joy to make all things new.
对他来讲，能够看到一切都更新了，他是有满足的。
Does that sound too good to be true?
你觉得这是真实的吗？
It's actually not difficult for us to kind of scoff at this.
有的时候我们可能太轻看这件事了。
It's easy for us to say, look, the reality is that in this world, no one is that generous or that good or that full of joy.
但你可能说，这世上的人不是都非常自私、非常之贪婪，怎么可能有这么好的事呢？
How do we taste and see that God is good?
我们如何能够尝到主恩的滋味呢？
Well, first, Jesus does warn us, warn his people about having a hard heart.
第一件事情，耶稣曾经警告我们说，要留意你心里不要存那刚硬的心。
If you keep reading in this passage, he's warning his disciples.
如果你继续沿着这个故事往下读，他有警告门徒。
Now, what kind of a person has a hard heart?
哪一种人说你是有刚硬的心呢？
That's a person who is cynical about love and friendship.
那一种人，他对于爱跟友情总是持着不可置否、持着批判的态度。
A person who scowls at big dreams and mocks.Beautiful ideals.
他不相信有伟大的梦想，也不相信有理想。
All this talk about heaven and paradise and everlasting joy is just kind of stupid.
对那些人来说，天堂并永恒的喜乐是不重要的，甚至是愚蠢的。
That's a hard heart.
这样就是有刚硬的心。
The religious leaders here were insisting that if Jesus was the Messiah.He needs to prove it.
在当时的宗教领袖，耶稣当时的宗教领袖坚持说，如果耶稣你真的是弥赛亚，是预言的那一位的话，你们要证明给我看，你要证明给我看，显些神迹。
They weren't interested in this talk about faith and love.
他们对耶稣的教导毫不留意。
And even though Jesus had already done many amazing miracles, they still wanted him to perform.
事实上，耶稣已经行了不知道多少神迹，但他们还说再来一个吧。
They thought he should be showing off and proving himself.
他认为耶稣基督就是要显出来给大家来看。
Not to be humble and meek.
他们没有留意到耶稣是柔和谦卑的人。
They wanted him to dazzle people, maybe even intimidate them into submission.
他们希望耶稣能够炫耀自己，甚至使别人感受到害怕而去相信他。
It's a hard-hearted heart that mocks at meekness.
这一种刚硬的心就是在嘲弄柔和谦卑的耶稣。
Who else do we know in the Bible that wanted to test Jesus?
还有谁想要测试耶稣呢？
Satan said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread."
就是神的敌人撒旦，恶者撒旦试探耶稣说：“如果你是神的儿子，就把这些石头变成食物来吃。”
These religious leaders were Jesus' enemies.
这些宗教的领袖在当时就是耶稣的敌人。
But he also warned his own disciples, "Beware of having a hard heart."
但是他去警告，用这件事警告他的门徒说：“不要有刚硬的心。”
His own disciples.Were really struggling to see Jesus for who he was.
他自己的门徒对于认识耶稣是谁也有一些挣扎。
They had trouble believing that the Almighty God, the Almighty Creator, could be a humble, gentle servant.
因为人没有办法理解一个全能、掌管天地万有的神，却是这样的柔和谦卑。
Most gentle, approachable.Accessible person in the universe.
他是柔和，他谦卑，他是随时可以找他的神。
He is the King of Kings, yet he makes the outcast of society feel welcome.
他是万王之王，但他却 到达社会的边缘的地方去接触他们。
He is the light of the world, yet he did not come to judge.
他是世界的光，他来到地上不是来审判。
I wish I could tell you about him.
我希望我能跟你再多说一些。
He is the good shepherd.
他是好牧人。
He is the way and the truth and the life.
他是道路、真理跟生命。
The Bible says we were created to know Him and to walk with Him, and our life will never be complete until we do.
圣经告诉我们，我们受造是为着要与他同行。我们的生命不能完整，如果你生命当中少了耶稣。
I wish I could tell you about Him.
我希望我可以告诉你更多。
But at some point, you just have to taste for yourself and see that God is good.
但最终是你自己要去尝尝主恩的滋味。
And Jesus said, we can simply ask Him to open our eyes.
耶稣基督说，我们可以就单纯的来问他，打开我们心中的眼睛。
Sometimes when people came to Jesus, He would simply ask them, what do you want me to do for you?
有时候人来找耶稣，耶稣就问他们说，你要我为你们做什么？
Time He asked two of His disciples, what do you want me to do for you?
他曾经问过他两个门徒说，你希望我为你们做什么？
They asked him for great power and authority.
这两位门徒说，我要有更多的权力，更多的权柄。
Another time, he told them that they actually had no idea what they were asking for.
但耶稣回答说，你们根本不知道你们求的是什么。
But another time, he asked a blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?"
有一次，他跟一个瞎子，他问那个瞎子说，你希望我为你做什么？
The blind man said to him, "Rabbi, I want to be able."See.
这位瞎子他说拉波尼就是老师我要能看见
Jesus immediately opened his eyes.
耶稣立刻开他的眼睛
You want to taste and see that God is good.
你要去尝主恩的滋味啊
Ask him.
来问他吧
Now, of course, it takes time for people to come to the point of trusting Jesus.
当然每个人生命都有历程最终来经历耶稣。
If you're here this morning and you don't think you're ready to do that, we get it.
如果你今天早上觉得说我还没有准备好，我们可以了解这样的情况。
We urge you to ask God to speak to you.
但是我们希望你能够问神，叫他来对你说话。
Say, God, if you are really there, I want to hear from you.
你可以跟神说，主啊，如果你是真实的，我希望能够听见你。
I want to taste and see that you are good.
我希望能够尝到你那主恩的美好。
God, if you are really there, I want to know you.
如果你真的在这里，我希望能够认识你。
I want to understand what life is about.
我希望知道人生是怎么回事。
Would you give me eyes to see and ears to hear?
主啊，你可以让我有这样的眼睛能够看到，有这样的耳朵能够听到你吗？
That would be an excellent, wise, courageous prayer to pray.
这样的祷告是有智慧并且是勇敢的祷告。
We also urge you to listen to the testimonies of those who are getting baptized this morning.
等一下我们要受洗，受洗之前有见证，我们鼓励你们听这些人的见证。
They're going to share how Jesus has touched their hearts and given them new life.
他们会跟你分享耶稣基督如何触动他们的心灵。
Satisfied them in a way that nothing else in this world can satisfy.
以至于他们的生命得到那最终的满足。
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray for us again.
我们一起低头来祷告。
And Father, we pray that if there are any out there this morning who have not come to that decision,
父亲，我向你祷告，如果还有人还没有向你决志，向你全心归向你
，or maybe they have. It's sometime in the past made that decision, but they have not followed through as you called.
或者是有人他曾经向你决志过，但却没有最终却没有全然遵行。
If they are wandering and their life is out of kilt,
当他们在生命当中彷徨的时候
，do a good work in their hearts this morning.
请在今天就打开他们的心，使他们心里能感受明白。
And Lord, we give you thanks for those who are getting baptized this morning.
父神，我们何等感谢你使这些人能够受洗归到您的名下。
Bless them richly, be glorified in their lives.
愿你的名在这里得荣耀，愿你赐福他们。
We pray in Jesus' name.
奉耶稣基督的名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, baptism is a statement of belief and commitment to Jesus Christ.
浸礼是宣告，是对于耶稣基督信心的宣告。
We go down in the water, we believe that Jesus died.
当这个人受洗进入水中的时候，我们相信与耶稣同埋葬。
We rise up, we believe that Jesus rose from the grave.
当他从水里起来的时候，就好像耶稣从死里复活。
And when he rose, he left our sins behind in the grave.
当这个人起来的时候，他就是新人，所有的罪恶过犯都远离他而去。
And we are washed clean.
我们被主耶稣基督所洗净。
We are recreated, born again.
我们成为新造的人。
We have new life.
我们有新的生命。
We're going to listen. First, they'll give a testimony, and then we'll baptize.
我们要开始来聆听每一位受浸者他们的生命见证，然后我们要为他来施洗。我们请蒋立新弟兄到前面来为我们做见证。
我叫蒋立新。今天早晨我在祷告的时候，我跟神说，我说我相信你是那个永恒的神，但是我的信心很小。但是我知道你是一个能够从无到有，能够改变生命的神，所以我求你的大能能够让我能够改变我的生命，让我能够打开我的眼，让我能够看到你，让我能够尝到你。我们是从南加州搬来的，我们以前是家族是摩门教，2012年在摩门教受洗的。我们在摩门教先后有9年的时间，到2019年我们搬离的时候，我已经是当地一个中文分会的一个第一资理。主怜悯我，一直让我在这个读摩尔门经的时候呢，是和他们一些教导的时候，让我心里面这个很不平安。比如他们要守一些所谓的好行为，就像旧约里面那些诫命，似乎得救不是独靠耶稣基督的救恩，还说亚当和夏娃吃分别吃和善恶树上的果子不是犯罪，否认十字架的功效，否认三位一体，说圣经里面有很多的错误，摩尔门经才是最完整正确的启示等等等等。对这些问题的思考和认识也是逐步深入的，在这个过程当中我看到了神的带领。我岳母是基督徒，她在加拿大温哥华，有一次她到我们家来做客，她知道我们加入了摩门教就很不安，她告诉了温哥华一位现年现在已经90多岁的一个长老弟兄，老弟兄呢当时就为我们热切地向神祷告，还给我们写了 一封非常恳切的劝勉信。不过当时我很犟，并没有马上回转。那神真的非常奇妙，他在我个人研读圣经的过程当中带领我看到一些东西，有一些疑问在我个人的阅读中难以解决，就想寻找答案。我岳母走的时候，他落下了一个这个老人机，其实他是有意的，上面有一个十字架，里面是老蒋弟兄对圣经的逐字逐句的解读。我开始只是试着听一听，却一下子就被吸引，也更加坚定我对摩门教的一些看法。原来我们得救靠的是圣灵的工作，是因信基督的赎罪而来的悔改，是这样的好行为，而不是得人奖赏抵挡圣灵骄傲自夸的好行为。2019年我们决定举家迁来休斯顿，我称之为是我们个人在圣灵带领下的出埃及。在买房验屋的时候遇见一位西区教会的教友，他推荐我们来到了北区教会。在北区教会，我听到这个祝牧师、魏传道，还有天杰长老、立峰弟兄，还有很多其他的牧师、传道人的讲道，觉得非常有真理的光照，真的非常开心。小组和教会弟兄姐妹也非常的有爱心，也很温暖。 还有一件很奇妙的事情，就是魏传道邀请我们参加夫妇恩爱营，事后我们问起怎么会想到邀请我们，他说就是感觉到这个我们夫妻应该需要，而且在以后的事工当中可能用得着，我相信一定是圣灵动了工。他还真给他说着了，在营会之前我们夫妻冷战了一个多月，去营会还遇到很大的拦阻，就是我们小女儿正好把腿给摔断了，我本来都已经决定不去了，但太太比较坚决，最后还是克服困难去了。在营会中我们学习到，我们夫妻的关系的问题归根结底是跟神的关系，夫妻二人跟神的关系越近，我们两人的关系也就越好。我们常常祷告称主啊主啊，但生活中我们也 只要自己做主，要神做仆从，甚至有时候甚至干脆离弃他。在营会里圣灵感动我们，流了很多眼泪，人也逐渐的一点一点软下来。我知道完全的信任神以至于完全的委身是一生的功课，非常非常难，但我完全相信我们的神是全能的神，在他没有难成的事。我相信耶稣基督已经成为我过去将来我过去现在和将来罪的救赎，死在了十字架上，因为他我可以有永生的盼望。我相信圣灵会在一切的事情上指教我走当行的道，我也相信我们这个教会是基督的肢体，我也愿意连接在其中获取营养并开花结果。这样类型
那从刚才他的见证当中，我们看到福音是 teamwork， 福音是团队的工作。今天我们蒋弟兄来到我们的中间，各位听到他的见证，我们现在要问蒋弟兄三个问题。第一个问题，蒋立新，你承认是一个罪人，无力拯救，需要耶稣基督的救恩吗？
是的。
第二个问题，你相信耶稣基督是神的儿子，为你死在十字架上吗？
是的。
第三个问题，你愿意顺服圣灵的带领，一生一世跟随他吗？
是的。
你既然愿意，按着你口里承认，心里相信，现在请你坐下来。我现在奉圣父、圣子、圣灵的名为蒋立新受洗。接下来我们请他的姐妹王成女姐妹。
大家好，我叫王晨女，英文名字叫素。刚才我是蒋立新的太太。我出生在中国大陆的上海，然后呢，我的家庭背景是我从小就父母在我五岁的时候就离异了，然后我从小是跟着我的爸爸和我的奶奶长大的。我成长于一个家庭呢，是道教和佛教混杂的宗教信仰的家庭。或者说我可能从小就是一个相信有神的泛神论者，不管是玉皇大帝也好，还是财神爷，还是观世音，还是如来佛，对我来说，我但凡有的我都信，然后我每一个都会拜一拜。我抱的态度从小就是宁可信其有，不可信其无，一个都不想得罪。从批判的角度来说，我就是一个典型的投机现实的实用主义者，一直就是这样。一直到98年我来美国以后，我接触到了耶稣基督。对我来说，当时对我来说，我是纯粹就是把它当成洋菩萨来看的。我学习圣经也是纯粹从知识的角度入手。 当我知道需要认罪悔改才能得救的时候，我曾经不止一次的在人面前说过，如果是这样，我就等了老了，快要去见神了再受洗。这样的话，我就一次性可以把一辈子的过失一笔勾销。由此可见，我对信仰是多么的不严肃，也没有什么追求。我就这样来来回回，去过不同的教会、查经班，我却从来没有过个人的见证和任何的感动。一直到2012年，当时是迫于无奈加入了 LDS 摩门教会。刚开始的时候，其实就算是在我妈的竭力的反对之下，我并没有觉得有什么不妥，因为我当时感觉周围接触的教友都很友善，彬彬有礼，乐于助人，然后呢也聚集了很多各方面非常有才华的人，属世的教导听起来更是很不错，这些都是我想让我的孩子去学的，比方说不嫖不赌，不接触色情的内容，不抽烟喝酒，不喝咖啡和茶，不用上瘾的物品，也有贞洁律法，甚至于在穿衣打扮上都有非常严格的要求，裙子要多长，衣服要多长。从小我的孩子去教会都是，我的儿子去教会都是白衬衫领结黑西装，打扮得非常的光鲜亮丽，所有的看到的都是感觉很好的一面。但是随着时间的推移，我发现这个教会更类似于一个架构严密的俱乐部，它的活动很多，规矩很多，层次也很复杂。普通的会员对于总会成员的顶礼膜拜，更让我感觉到像回到了共产党当时的那种造神时代，心里隐隐觉得是不妥当的。而且相处久了以后，更会感觉到很多人，教会当中的很多人自觉不自觉的会有道德上的优越感和高人一等的那种傲慢。随着我先生的召唤越来越多，我感觉他在家里变得越来的自我和固执。我的孩子都说爸爸永远是对的，爸爸就是真理的标准，说他在家里面就像是一个独裁者，但是在外面却是一个公认的好好先生和好爸爸。我们在人后面的争执越来越多，冷战的时间也越来越长，谁也不肯相让。这次的夫妇安营其实是我们夫妻关系的真正转折点。以往我所看到的只是人的好行为，人的爱和要求得到的相应的回报。这次的营会3天当中，让我大概流了3年都不会流的眼泪。我感觉到一直紧紧包裹在我的坚硬内心的外壳在层层的褪去，融化在圣灵的感动当中，心也一点一点的开始柔软下来。我开始真正的反省和思考自己与配偶家人的关系，以及过往与神和救主耶稣基督的关系。我认识到自己的罪和骄傲，过去在摩门教的9年从来没有让我有机会认识到这些，只是一味的追求外在的形式和行为，以为做到了这些就有了一张护身符，看到的也都是人的荣耀，而心却变得更加的骄傲和刚硬，从来没有真正亲近过神，也没有任何灵力的成长。我幡然醒悟，难怪这么多年我从来不曾有过自己的见证和感动，因为神是鉴察人心的，他喜悦的是人心的彻底转向，由内而外的改变。自从上完未传道关于纯正的基督信仰课程之后，我更清楚深刻地了解到，人要靠自己外在的好行为来自我救赎是绝无可能的，唯有依靠主耶稣基督才能回到天父的面前。这就需要我们时刻的认罪悔改，让主耶稣真正做我们的主，跟过去的老我彻底告别，活出一个新的生命。我知道天父一直很爱我，他一直在我身边看顾和保守我，让我有这么好的先生和孩子们，他也一直在灵里耐心地指引和等待我。回首过往，我知道这一路走来都非偶然，从我老师最初撒下的种子，我妈妈教会长期以来持续的带导 以及来到休斯顿北区教会所得到的热情回应，无一不是天父的安排。今天我要把自己的心门打开，让我主耶稣基督入住，让他来做我生命的主，时时认罪悔改，让自己成为一个真正的基督徒，活出一个新生的样式。仁爱、喜乐、和平、忍耐、恩慈、良善、信实、温柔、节制，将是我一生努力追求的目标，也是一生的功课。别了，那个我自己也不喜欢的旧我和老我，别再来找我了。谢谢。
阿门。请王晨女到敬礼池。Gospel is a teamwork. Someone sows the seed, someone provides water, but only God makes it grow. 今天王晨女女士在我们的当中，我要问她三个问题。第一个问题，王晨女，你承认你是自己是一个罪人，并且无力自救吗？需要主耶稣基督的救恩。
是的。
你承认并愿意相信耶稣基督是神的儿子，他为你死在十字架上吗？
是的。
你愿意顺服圣灵，一生一世做主的门徒吗？
是的。
你既然愿意，因着你口里承认，心里相信，现在请你坐在池子里面。我现在奉圣父、圣子、圣灵的名为王晨女施行。好，我们请吴廷斌来为我们做见证。
野地的花是一首常常在我脑子里浮现的歌曲。一切需要，天父已经都知道。若心中烦恼，让他为你除掉。我出生在一个没有特别宗教信仰的家庭。我的价值观养成其实很好懂，至少我自己觉得应该蛮好懂的。你不要做坏事，你要努力，要加油，你要学习独立，你要变成一个对社会有贡献的好公民。在成长和学习的过程中，我也渐渐地清楚明白，这世界上有好多好多好多的事情，都不是在我们能够掌握之中。虽然明白，但是我却仍然开始对自己的不够努力感到愤怒，对自己不能够达到期望的目标而感到沮丧。即使课本告诉我们，人生不如意的事情十之八九，就算从别人的眼中看起来，也许我已经做得很好，可是我仍然会为那些不如意感到伤心和失望。我真的好希望好希望好希望所有的事情都能够照着我的心意来完成。我更希望我身边所有的人还有事情还有物品都可以照着我的安排去做。我变成一个好骄傲好骄傲的人哦，因为这个骄傲让我尝到了情绪的苦果。我非常容易的生气，非常容易不开心，把自己弄得像一个仙人掌，大家都不敢靠近我， 我忘记了到底是谁在掌管着明天，我也忘记了谦卑。还好，虽然我一直没有正式的进入神的家里，但是我却一直被祝福着。当我回头看看这条路，从小到大的足迹，我的身边都一直有基督徒的师长，还有朋友、同学们陪伴鼓励着。只是因为我的骄傲，让这条回家的路多了好多好多的石头。对于我来说，今天的受洗只是踏入一个家门，它只是一个开始。渺小的我还有好多好多事情要学习，我也要练习顺服交托。慈爱的天父天天都看顾，他更爱世上人，为他们预备永生的路。谢谢。
阿们。刚才他说，平平说，受洗只是生命旅程的开始。今天我要挑战在座的各位，你离那个生命的旅程有多远呢？平平 just say that baptism is just a beginning of a life journey. So today my challenge to everyone is, how far away are you from this beginning? 平平，我有三个问题要问你。你承认你自己是一个罪人，无力自我拯救吗？
是的。
你相信耶稣基督为你死在十字架上是你个人的救主吗？
是的。
你愿意顺服圣灵的带领，一生一世做主耶稣基督的门徒吗？
是的。
好，请你坐在池子里面。因着吴廷斌他口里承认，心里相信，我现在奉圣父、圣子、圣灵的名为吴廷斌施洗。So now we ask Melinda to do the testimony.
Hi, I'm Melinda, and there are a lot of people here, but this is my testimony. Okay, so like many of you, I was born into a Christian family, and I was raised off of Bible stories and of Sunday school. For as long as I can remember, my entire environment was Christian and seemed to echo the same message about Jesus. Everything was perfectly tailored to always point towards the Bible. I attended a Christian school, I got the most badges in Awana, and I went to church almost every Friday and Sunday. In all honesty, I went to church to have lunch with friends and converse or fool around during sermons and Sunday school. I definitely did not understand the importance and weight of this community of like-minded brothers and sisters like we have here. In fact, I was so out of tune with church that I only have memories of talking with friends there instead of sermons or Sunday school. At this age, I definitely found my identity in pride, specifically in my biblical knowledge and my grades. To say that I adored compliments might have been an understatement. In reflection, I think I was subconsciously trying to find a way to substitute praise from others for my lack of meaning. To summarize this time of my life, I never thought of the Bible as something to meditate or understand, but rather something to know and a convenient way to garner compliments. As I grew, I was able to tell that there was a lot wrong with this approach. Outwardly, I was grand, but spiritually, I might not have even taken one step in the right direction. I struggled a lot silently and battled my anger and confusion. I remember feeling like I wanted someone to lean on and to share my struggles, and someone who would always listen and would always be present. And because I didn't know God, I felt alone in a vast, dark void. Since I grew up in such a Christian community, I had always been taught to pray in times of struggle. Even though I wasn't exactly a Christian, I knew what God wanted me to do. I would often pray in anguish, just trying to understand God and life in general. At this point, I made a personal commitment to read my Bible more, especially after encouragement from others in my life, like my mom. However, reading the Bible does not always equate to knowing God. I still found my identity in pride, and I remember how prideful I felt in being able to read my Bible every day. Looking back, I will definitely say that I only knew about God and not God personally. When people say that reading the Bible reveals a lot about God, they are definitely correct. One day as I was reading the Bible, I stumbled onto Matthew 7:23, which reads, "But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who breaks God's laws." Needless to say, I was scared, shocked, and ruined. I had a million questions about Jesus, but my main question was whether fear of death and fear of hell were the main motivators of my belief. I only knew what would happen if I didn't know God, not how it would be to know him. Surprisingly, it wasn't the existence of God that rattled me. It was the motivation of my religion that did. I loved apologetics at that time, and my church had a Christian book club where we would read more about it, so I trusted the Bible and in the existence of God. During this time of questioning, everything about my relationship with God seemed too confusing and cloudy. I thought that if God wanted us to seek him more, he would have made it easier for us to understand what we seek. I ultimately decided that I would continue in my relationship with God, but I would try to get him to know him personally. One ordinary day, I was studying and listening to worship music. I was listening to Run to the Father by Cody Carnes, which is a forever iconic song. But I was listening to the lyrics, "I run to the Father, I fall into grace." And I broke down. That short sentence encapsulated everything I wanted. I wanted someone to run to and lean on, and someone who I knew would always be there. And somehow I knew that person would be God. I started praying, and I wasn't even sure what to say. I had a million questions, thanksgivings, and sorrows. I remember repeating to myself, "You are here," after I prayed. It felt like I had a companion who would share my burdens, who would help me through dark times, and who loves me unconditionally, and who would always give me joy and stability. It was like a joy I had never felt before, and I couldn't help but sing and praise God. After this encounter, I felt certain things in my life slowly shift. I started enjoying and actually paying attention to sermons. I started getting lost in worship instead of boredom. I started examining the Bible instead of just reading it. I also self-examined and started trying to hold my tongue more, which I'm clearly still working on. But I will say that no one will magically become good one day. It can be a slow or quick process for anyone, but it all begins with the heart. This encounter made me realize many things, such as, even though I loved apologetics, I couldn't defend Christianity against my own emotions during my darkest time. What I'm saying is, the best apologetic won't be found in any book or gotquestions.org post. It's found in your own personal conversion. People won't relate to random statistics more than they will to a real story. Also, it's necessary to find the why behind everything you do so you don't end up like me as I fruitlessly read the Bible.
They really do love you, Melinda. We thank God for you, for your testimony. You acknowledge that you're a sinner without hope apart from God's grace. Thank you.
I do.
You believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried and rose again and lives and reigns forever.
Yes.
And having received Christ as your Lord, do you commit yourself to continuing in the study of his word, to prayer, to walking with other believers in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Then, our dear sister, gladly do we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Hey everyone, my name is Caleb Chan, and if you don't know me, I am the oldest son of my mom, Doreen Ng, and and my dad, Wen Chen. Currently, I'm 15 years old, and I will be turning 16 in a couple of weeks. As of now, I attend College Park High School, and I'm currently in 10th grade. I haven't had a moment in my life in which God has directly spoken to me, but I have had many moments where I felt his presence. Growing up, I would say I had a pretty good life, and I had lots of close friends, a great family, and most importantly, God himself. Being born into a Christian family, I was always taught to do the right from the wrong, come to church every Sunday, and pray every night. I feel like the youngest ages of my life were when I was closest to God. There's this saying where people say some good things come to an end, and I felt as if there was a certain time where I wasn't as close as I was to God as before. The reason for this is because we moved to a special place called the Woodlands. I didn't know much about what was going around me when we moved, but I quickly came to realize that I didn't like the changes the first day of school. On the first day of school, I looked around and realized something everyone had in common. They were not Asian like I was. It made me feel different for the first time in my life, and as I had always been surrounded by other Asians that were from similar heritage as me. I tried my best to blend in, but it didn't always work out the way that I hoped it to. I thought people would at least want to be friends with me, but but it seems like I was wrong. In fact, I was made fun of throughout most of my third to sixth grade years. They made fun of me and called me things that were related to me having small eyes and being from a Chinese heritage. I didn't know what to do, and I felt lost for a while. In desperation, I turned to God and asked him for guidance and help. If you know me, I'm a very impatient person, and I was hoping for an answer the next week. To no one's surprise, nothing changed. In fact, I remember sitting in the corner of the lunch table all alone that Monday. I kept replaying the question, did God really have a plan for me, or had he forgotten about me, over and over again in my head? For a very significant amount of time after that event, I was very upset and confused as to what to think about God. I questioned my faith multiple times and even told myself that when I grow up, I didn't want to be Christian anymore. It was very tough, and I couldn't understand why it was happening to me. My elementary school years flew by, and before I knew it, I was in middle school. Nothing had changed, though. I was still being called names and felt sad most of the days because people who knew me from that elementary school would call me out in the hallways. Based on the past experiences I had with God, I thought he would never speak to me, so I turned to my parents. I thought they could help me since they were the people I knew the best all my life, but all I got were words that I felt as if had no meaning to me. I had no one anymore. Feeling lonely and betrayed, I would lay in my bed at night most days thinking about all the sad things that had already happened to me at such a young age. I felt useless and worthless. I tried to seem happy at school and make new friends, but that only lasted a while before I found myself in the same spot in my bed again. Suddenly, a new challenge came over. As most of you may know, COVID. The beginning of COVID changed my thoughts entirely. I started to care less about things like grades, hanging out with people, and school. And then I started to think about how life was just an endless cycle of pain over and over again. With no task I felt like were worth my time, I started to question if life was even worth living. Sometimes at night, I would even stare out my bedroom window and think about what would happen to me if I jumped out. The world wouldn't stop spinning. No one would realize it even happened, and so why not just do it? I felt as if even God wasn't telling me not to do it. After almost 2 years of COVID now, my relationship with God hasn't changed all that much, but now I continue to look for a purpose in life. Reading the Bible has helped me understand more about my purpose as a human and why God created us. Within the Bible, a verse has always stuck out to me. In John chapter 20, verse 25, Thomas states, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hands in his side, I will not believe." Sometimes I feel just like Thomas, who doubted the resurrection of Jesus. Other times I feel like God is always watching over me. Baptism used to be one of those things that I blew off and never really gave much thought about. It wasn't until recently that I realized God has been working through so many people, such as my family and my friends. They always supported me no matter what I was going through. They were the people that really made me open up my eyes and think, wow, God, you really have done great things for me. Sometimes I feel as if I'm still not ready for him or worthy enough, but God has always revealed himself through the mist. And only now did I come to realize it was time to take the leap of faith and come home to him. Thank you.
Brother Caleb, we thank God for your testimony. We believe he will use you to touch many. Caleb, do you acknowledge you're a sinner without hope apart from God's grace in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again as conqueror over death?
Yes.
Having received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, do you commit yourself to walking with him, studying his word, praying, walking with other believers together in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Then, our dear brother, gladly do we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Good morning, everyone. I was born 16 years ago, and from what I can remember, I've been going to church ever since. And all my life, I haven't really known God that much, and going into middle school is really when I strayed away from God, because I was introduced to not a great group of friends. And I started cussing, learning about pornography, and a lot of sinful nature. Around that time is when I stopped praying too, because usually every night my dad and brother would come up and we'd pray together, but as we grew up, that stopped happening. And throughout middle school, high school, I started getting into big trouble, like referral incident stuff, like cussing, punching someone, and around high schoolish, I got in trouble for a racial slur. And around high school is really when I started having problems with my family, because high school is when grades start mattering and GPA and all that, and parents really care about that, but I really had no motivation for that, so we had conflicts over that. And beginning of freshman year, I had a bunch of failing grades and started getting B's, and that's when my parents started getting on to me about grades, and I just wouldn't care, so we'd have a lot of arguments. And then we'd have big arguments and fights, so I wouldn't really want to listen, so I'd just go to the park and stay there all night until they come pick me up. And when I was there, I'd be like, why are my parents so Asian? Why do they have to like care about grades so much? No, most of my friends' parents didn't care about that much. So I was like, why do I have Asian parents, I guess. Around that time, I really became depressed and started thinking about running away and suicide, but luckily, God was there for me, and I didn't commit to either. The freshman year went through, And then, oh shoot, sorry. Freshman went through around COVID, and that's when I started thinking about what if I need something from God or something. So I started praying to like build a relationship, so in case I needed something, I could ask him. And then, so I started praying every day, and the first day I prayed, it wasn't really much of a prayer. It was like, "Dear God, thank you for the food." That's it. And then the next morning, we came down to breakfast, and I had an argument with my brother, and I can't remember what I said, but it was something about like, why are you acting like this if you're such a good Christian? And then he asked me, when's the last time I prayed? And I said, yesterday. Well, that was the first time I prayed, so kind of lied. I began praying every day, not really meaningful, but then COVID hit, which is really when I didn't have any meaning with God, because we had online church, and I just mute the audio and watch a YouTube video while I played. And then, so, my relationship with my parents was pretty bad during then. One time, me and my dad got into an argument, and I ended up ignoring him for over a month. But he continued to try to talk to me, because he's a good dad. And we ended up making up, but we still had a real relationship. But my parents were motivated to build a relationship with me, and every day they tried to talk to me, but I kind of ignore them, because I didn't want to talk to them. But then COVID kept happening, and then sophomore year, no real relationship with God or my parents. Pretty bad of a year. And then sophomore year, summer, my parents and I built a little bit of a relationship. We've been talking more again, but still no real relationship. And then church started opening, and luckily, Jeremy was the new, thankfully, Jeremy was the new English leader, our youth leader. And then, so, summer happened, and then the Impact Camp was coming up, and Jeremy was convincing me to go, but I didn't really feel like going, because I'd been there once, and I didn't like it. And so, he kept convincing me every Sunday, but I was like, I'm gonna be too busy. But then he talked to my dad about it, and I was like, why'd you talk to my dad? We don't know each other like that. But luckily he did. My dad signed me up, and he told me if I didn't like it, he'd just come pick me up. So I was like, all right, I'll go, and then call him like the first hour and ask him to come pick me up. But I got there, and then there's no service, so I couldn't call him. So so I stayed there a while, and each day I listened to the sermon. It started really get to me, like connect with me, and each day I became more like focused on trying to get to know what the pastor was saying, try to really listen and comprehend what he was saying. But that's when then my counselor and I had a one-on-one, and he asked me if I had been baptized, and I said no. He's like, do you want to get baptized? I was like, maybe. And then he asked me to surrender my life right there, like in front of him. I said, no, I'll do it soon though. And then he was like, yeah, do it soon. And then final night of Impact, everyone began sharing. Oh, shoot. Wrong order, sorry. Final night of Impact, we we had sort of like confessions, and I began to see how God had like really touched everyone and be able to change everyone. And that's really when God touched me. And the next day, we had our final sermon, and the pastor asked, if anyone would like to surrender their life right now, please stand up. And I just felt the need to stand up because the Impact Camp had really touched me. And after that, I thought I'd come home, better man, changed man, and all my sinful ways would be gone, but it didn't happen. I came back, I was like, let's do this. And I started reading my Bible. 2 days in, I failed. And so I started praying to God about that. I was like, can you help me motivate me to read your word? And I think in like 3-ish days, my counselor asked me if I want to be accountability partners, which is we text each other verses to make sure we're reading the Bible. And I'm still struggling with lust, cussing, but I'm trying to do better, working on myself. And now I'm here to get baptized and surrender my life to God. And I have a verse, Luke 6:41. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see it clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. That really resonates with me because I feel like I always talk about everyone doing stuff, but I really never do it. That's about it.
It was a great testimony, Samuel, and it's a blessing when you walk in the light to acknowledge you're a sinner without hope apart from God's grace in Jesus Christ our Lord.
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day, and now lives and reigns forever?
I do.
Having received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, do you commit yourself to Bible study, to prayer, to walking together with other believers in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit?
I do.
And our dear brother, gladly do we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, everyone. I'm Felix, and I'm also 16, and I'm a sophomore. And ever since I was young, I was, like everyone, like a lot of us here, I was born and raised in a Christian family, and I went to church. And mostly always, all the time, I was always just forced to come to church. So I would just sit through Sunday school, and through the service, kind of just mess around, and just kind of make sure time passes, and that's all. And it was never something that I looked forward to. I was just like, ugh, I have to go again. So I never got anything out of it because my attitude always to coming was just, oh man, again. A couple more hours and I got this. And then what happened is, I didn't really grow ever, and then COVID hit. And since COVID, COVID was a bit hard since it was online. And online, it was hard to keep myself accountable, to which I'll listen. So even if I was older and more mature, it was I never really paid attention to online. And then in ninth grade, Jeremy came, and then we started doing like a little worship group, and that's like where everything, I guess, all started. And then also ninth grade, that's also when I got, I would say, my first girlfriend. And then from there, I wouldn't really say I was guarding my purity too well, and I just felt like as things didn't go too far, it's all good, because I was like, it's okay. But at that time, I really just didn't understand. I was like, hey, too far, now that I know, that's not good. And from there, because of the worship, I started spending more time at church, having a worship practice, Friday fellowship, and church. I wanted to take it more seriously and have my purity more seriously. And then so I prayed more seriously. And from then, one day I heard God talk to me kind of straight up. He goes, you should break up with your girlfriend. I was like, huh? Why? Why do you want me to do this? Well, come on, God, tell me why. Because I wanted a reason. I wanted a reason to do things. Because if you tell me to do something, I kind of want to know why you want me to do something. So after hearing this, God just telling me, I was just like, God, you're probably just suggesting something, and I don't really need to listen to you. So I decided to ignore him. But because of this, it's like spurred a curiosity out of me. So I decided to ask Nathan to do Bible study. And I remember doing just one Bible study. I just decided to tell him about how God told me, what God said to me, like, tell me to break up with my girlfriend. And from like a big summary, short answer, Nathan said, you should probably listen. God is strong and powerful. And it's probably a good idea to listen. But then he also said he'll support me. So I was like, okay, I'll take second option. Because I was just like, no reason. And so this was just right before Impact started and just the beginning of summer. And so leading up to camp, there was just moments, maybe because there's a doubt in my mind now that God was there. I could see what was wrong, and I could see that I wasn't guarding my purity too well. So I had like guilty feelings, and just also I could see how my friends and family were all like, God was like working through all of them, not the way to help me, to guide me throughout all these times. Even when I was ignoring God, God was helping me in my insignificant little life. And so I still just put it aside because I was just like, it's whatever. I just made more excuses about not listening. And then Impact happened, and the speaker, he made a point of saying that God is good. He, over the course of the 4 days, he repeated God is good multiple times. So even if you got nothing, you knew that God was good. So, and when he said this, I was always just constantly thinking, right? I was just thinking about what I should do in my situation. If I understood that God was good, why don't I listen to him? And I kind of just put it aside because it was camp and I didn't want to think about it. And no service anyways, so there's no point for me to. And as camp progressed day by day, there's definitely moments, tons and tons of moments where you definitely feel the presence of God and the Holy Spirit just through the speaker as well as the different worship songs, from just singing worship and just meditating on the word, just thinking about them and see how our lives are so broken and we're such sinners. And I remember one day, the speaker was just talking about like different names for God. And one of them that stood out to me was Jehovah Shemab. And this basically means God is present. God is present in our lives and working through all of us, so this is God is present. And I really did believe this, and I felt like if we just look for him, he's there. So this was clearly shown like a couple nights, like the last night of Impact, we had prayer circles. And what happened for prayer circles was that the speaker, he said and confessed to all of us to show his vulnerability that he was the same as a Pharaoh that commanded the Egyptians to slaughter every firstborn. And from then on, he started to say about all these different things, sins that we do, and sins that we're all facing. And I remember it was really an eye-opening experience, just really moving and touching to see how he was saying all these things. And as all the high schoolers walked up to the center who felt like they had these sins, it was really cool to see how all these other people were suffering the same problems you were. And it really moved me because it's all these things that we might hide from everyone because we feel like we're going to get judged, but actually in reality, it's a lot of people are suffering the same things. And then from the prayer circle, everyone was just able to pray out loud all at the same time. It was like a cry out to God. It was just to seek help, seek wisdom and patience, just beg for forgiveness from God. And I remember just having our arms around whoever, it doesn't matter who, just eyes closed, praying and just crying. And I remember feeling just a weight lifted off, kind of just, I felt really, really nice, like a peace over me, saying like, wow, that was beautiful. And later that night, there's also just more sharing, because it was a horrible night, and sharing, they're sharing the darkest of secrets, and just like the most traumatizing events, and all these things. And through each of them, I kept getting reminded, and just thinking of my situation, about what I should do, because I knew I wasn't guarding my purity too well, and I just didn't know what to do. And that night, like, I kind of thought about it. I didn't really want to share with anyone because I didn't feel like I wasn't ready to share with everyone because I thought I was getting judged. And then impact ended. So then on the way home, I realized I did have to deal with it since I now have service again and my life is back to normal. And when I came home, after a couple of days, a couple of weeks, I forgot. But I eventually did listen to God, and I did break up. And from that day on, I really learned that I should really trust with God, in Him, because He has a plan for me, and God is good. He has a plan for all of us, and we should trust in that plan, because He is good. And even though if we might doubt Him, He is all-knowing and just. And after that, I think a verse really stood out to me, and it was, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. This is from Proverbs 3:5-6. And I just really think this verse like stands out to my situation about how I use my earthly understanding, about how what I thought to defy Him, yet that didn't go so well. And so in the weeks following, I could say definitely that I was praying more, reading the Bible more, just constantly growing and happier as well. And I really just want to give thanks to God and just praise to Him for just leading me and help guiding me, even when I ignored Him, even when I disobeyed Him. And as insignificant as I was, He was in my daily life, working through me, working through all my friends, my thoughts, my family, just all these people. And I just can't imagine how great He is. And so I stand here today to say to God, I believe in no matter what stands in front of me, from the biggest of obstacles and the happy moments in life, that God has a plan for these things. So as I continue to grow, I want to learn more about God, be more with God, follow God, obey God, and be more like Jesus. Thank you.
Caleb, Felix, we're definitely looking forward to seeing how God's going to continue to strengthen your faith. To acknowledge that you are a sinner without hope apart from God's grace in Jesus Christ our Lord.
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross, that He was buried, that He rose on the third day and now lives and reigns forever?
I do.
And having received Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, do you commit yourself to continuing in the study of His Word in prayer, to walking with other believers together in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit?
I do.
And our dear brother, gladly do we baptize you today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Hello. So I'm Nathan, and yeah. growing up, I was born and raised in a Christian family, but unlike the fundamentals that it should have taught me, I think it rather taught me to doubt a lot of the things that I was taught, because I always questioned if I was born in a different family, like a Hindu family or something like that, would I grow up believing the same things? Or is it just because I was born in a Christian family that I believe the things that I do? And I never really was able to reconcile this, but until the first day camp that I had, where it started planting the seed of my relationship with God. Sure, it didn't really last very long, but I think it started the fundamentals of knowing that I can always go to God no matter what. Fast forward to the summer of COVID, or this is one relationship that, or one instance of where I felt God's presence and just resonates a lot with me. But during COVID, I got into an argument with my parents. If I'm being honest, I don't really remember what it was about, probably about eating chips too much or something like that. But in that moment, I was, I think, more focused on winning the argument and unable to let go of my pride. And I remember that my heart was hardened, and I just continuously blamed my parents for everything that was happening. And my question was, how can my parents who claim to be Christ-loving also be so hurtful? It also made me question if everything that I was taught was true, if I cannot see it reflected upon them. That day I walked out and I went to the park, and I didn't really know what to do because I don't really just walk out of the house that often, or at all. But I remember calling one of my friends, and the first friend that I called, I just kind of wanted to let's hang out or get my mind off of something. And then I called him, and he was in Houston. He was having a violin lesson or something. And then at that point, I didn't really know who else to talk to, but I was just looking through my contact list on my phone. And a name caught my eye, mainly because it was misspelled, but it was good. It was Ethan who caught my eye. I had a prior experience with him and God whenever we were in Taiwan. We were on mission together, and I could just really see how God worked through him to show love to other people. So I gave him a call, not really expecting whether or not he had my phone number. But he picked up and he just asked me where I was, and whenever he came, we just prayed about it. And this prayer was just a cry to God. It was questioning why this was happening, why were my parents like this? But at the same time, there was a peace that God was with me, that even when I walked away from home, even when I walked away from my parents, that I can never walk away from God, and that God will continue to pursue me. In that moment, it was really undeniable that God exists. There wasn't a question of whether or not I was raised to believe these things, because I was experiencing a relationship with God in that moment. It just made me realize how broken I was and how much I needed God, and confess my own sins, such as worrying my parents or being disrespectful to them. Inevitably, whenever I came back home, my parents embraced me with open arms, and through that, I was able to feel God's love through them. In the hindsight, I was always questioning, why didn't my first friend pick up? Why did only Ethan, that I don't think I talked to for like a year prior to that, pick up? And especially since it was junior summer, so he's probably busy. But through that, I was able to just see how much God had planned for me, that even when I was running away from him, that he was constantly pursuing me. I think there's a verse that just wraps it up really well for me. It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 9 through 10. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led to you to repentance. For you become sorrowful as God intended, and so not were harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow leads to repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. And that's why I'm here now, standing before the congregation, about to be baptized as obedience to the Father. Thank you.
It is God's mercy and grace to baptize my own son. So I'm going to ask Nathan Duke Wei the three questions facing this way. Nathan Duke Wei, son of Naaman Wei, do you admit you are a sinner without hope apart from God's grace?
I do.
Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and trust him alone for your own salvation?
I do.
Do you surrender and submit to the guidance of Holy Spirit and commit yourself to be the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ?
I do.
Because you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, now I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let's pray. Father, again, we give you great thanks for these 8 who have been baptized. And we pray that they would continue to grow in their faith and their knowledge of you. Lord, give us wisdom in encouraging them, nourishing them, that their relationship with you would grow, that it would not be a checklist of things to do, but it would be a walk with you, their Savior. Lord, we pray you would bring many more, that we could share the testimonies, we could see more saved. Lord, you have been good and faithful, and we bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think we're going to have a hymn now, right?
Yes.
我已经决定要跟随耶稣，永不回头。 I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back. No turning back.
Amen.
弟兄姐妹请坐, please take your seat. 现在我们邀请 加入北区教会来前来要转会的弟兄姐妹，请你们到台前来好吗？然后我们请长子会的主席欧尚林弟兄为我们做会友接纳礼。非常感谢主，我们今天大家在一起能够见证神的荣耀。
我们今天不光有七位弟兄姐妹们受洗加入我们的大家庭，也还有十几位从外州和别的教会来的弟兄姐妹们加入我们教会，成为我们的会友。Okay, it's time for welcome our new church members. So for those who are joining our church, please come up to the stage. Come on, Michael and Daniel. Jeremy, yeah. So for the interest of time, I'll just give a brief introduction to you, for your guests, and no time for the sharing. Sorry about that. Okay. 我们首先欢迎这个丁娘友弟兄，还有这个 刘慧卿姐妹，她们是一个大家庭，加入我们当中。还有她们的孩子，丁威弟兄和王真姐妹。OK，欢迎你们。 Okay, next one is Daniel Ling. 对不起，我刚才忘掉了。丁弟兄他们一家是从那个加州搬过来，南加州搬过来，然后在这边定居，所以在我们教会当中也有半年时间。我们刚来四个月。Okay，好，欢迎。谢谢。Okay, next one is Daniel. Daniel Ling, he's actually grew up in HCC, right? And he went to A&M, and now he's working in the Houston area. And he's been a very, you know, a good helper with our youth ministry, working with the kids, you know, those younger folks over there. All right, Daniel, welcome. How 我们下面呢是有这个黎建 宾弟兄和任丽玲姐妹，他们从那个亚特兰大搬过来，现在 Sam Houston 任教。好，欢迎你们。感谢主。Okay, next we have Michael Walker. He's been living in the area for about a long time, right? 10 years, something? Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he's been neighbor with Yan New, and he came to our church last year. Yeah. So, yeah, we're very happy to have him because right now we're really in need of the young professionals like them. Yeah. Welcome. 好，下面是那个陈浩弟兄和晋南姐妹，他在我们当中也有两年了哈。他们是在 Chevron 工作，然后因为这个assignment 呢，然后在全球走了好几个地方，现在定居在我们这里。好，欢迎你们。Okay, next one is Jeremy Chang. I think you've heard about the name Jeremy from the youth testimony earlier, right? So here is the person. Okay. Hi, Jeremy. Yeah, he's our new youth leader. I think he moved here from California last year, right? Oh, I'm sorry.
I came from California about 5 years ago. I've been attending Chinese Baptist Church up until summer of last year.
Thank you. Welcome. 那么最后呢，我们有大家很多人都很熟识的这个刘庆忠弟兄。刘庆忠弟兄在我们当中也有很多年啊，他在 Sam Houston 做这个 faculty， 欢迎。好，下面我们想邀请那个所有的今天受洗的弟兄姐妹们都上来，我们可以有一个photo. Okay, welcome all the newborn brothers and sisters. Please come up stage. We'll have a photo time. Okay. Oh, and we also have some gifts for this newborn Christians. All right. Okay. 那么，呀，蒋弟兄，我们这里是你的受洗证书，然后我们教会为你准备了一本圣经。好 ，OK， 好。对，好，下面是王琛女姐妹，这是你的礼物，谢谢。还有吴婷斌姐妹，好。这儿，Melinda， here's it， and Caleb。Caleb Chen. Oh, right here. Hi. Samuel Neil. And Felix. Come on here. And lastly, we have Nathan right here.
Ask everybody to stand.
请弟兄姐妹起立。
Put out our hands. We're going to bless them, pray for them.
伸出你的右手，为台上的弟兄姐妹来祷告。
Father, we are so blessed to have these brothers and sisters joining with us this morning.
父神，我们是何等的感恩，弟兄姐妹在台上，他们现在就加入你的教会。
We give you thanks for how you moved in their hearts and touched them.For many different people.
我们感谢你的带领，你感动他们的心，引领他们的一生。
Some planted the seed.
有些人在他们心中撒下了种子。
Some watered.
有些人在他们心中浇灌。
And Lord, you gave new life, and we praise you.
但父神是你将生命之道在他们的生命当中茁壮成长，我们感谢你。
And Lord, we pray that these and that all of us would continue following after you.
主啊，我们愿意 在你的面前跟台上的弟兄姐妹，我们一起在主耶稣基督里面成长。
Lord Jesus, we want to know you.
主耶稣基督，我们想要更加认识你。
We want to know you as you are revealed in your word.
愿你将你的话语显明。
As the Holy Spirit illumines your word to us.
借着圣灵将你的话语、生命之道在我们的生命当中显明。
Pray you would continue to transform our hearts, Lord.
祷告你持续的来翻转我们的生命。
Lord Jesus, we want to make you known.
父神，我们希望你的名被高举。
We pray that you would use these testimonies, Lord, to bring blessing to many.
我们祷告你使用这些见证，使更多的人能够得益处，主名得荣耀。
And Lord, may we see more baptized.
我们更愿看到更多人受洗归入您的名下。
We know you said the fields are white for harvest.
你说要收的庄稼多。
Lord, give us eyes to see and hearts that are alert.
让我们有这样的眼睛可以看到，能够敏锐于圣灵的带领。
And Lord, we pray that you be glorified in our fellowship and our love for one another as a church.
在我们彼此相爱，在我们在主里面，你的名，你的荣耀就被高举。
We pray each one of these new members would find a place to serve and be nourished and trained and built up.
我祷告每一位加入北区教会的弟兄姐妹，他们都找到一个服事的地方，服事的工厂。
We as a church could continue to do the work of the ministry.
我们教会是基督的身体，我们合一来做主的工作。
Lord, be exalted.
愿你的名被高举。
Give us faith and perseverance to press on until the day you take us home.
给我们信心，给我们坚忍，一直等到主再来的那一天。
We love you, Lord.
我们爱你。
Bless you.
我们愿意向你献上我们的祝福。
In Jesus' name we pray.
以耶稣基督的名，我们祷告。
Amen. Amen.
各位弟兄姐妹，请坐。好，请台上的弟兄姐妹请就坐。在教会的第一个主日，我们是圣礼圣餐的时间。如果你还没有拿到圣餐的话，请你举手，让方便我们服事的同工看到你。怎么样的人可以参与圣餐？就是相信主耶稣基督，并且受洗归入他的名下，就可以领用圣餐。
Please raise your hand if you don't have a cup. Communion is for those who have received Christ and baptized into His church. Doesn't have to be this church.So the night before his crucifixion, Jesus sat down with his disciples at their country's most blessed feast.
在主耶稣基督被卖的那一夜，他与门徒坐在一起。
And he told them, I want you to remember me here at the table.
他说，我希望你如此行，为的是纪念我。
This friendship, this feast we share together is precious.
在我们面前当中的友谊以及宴席是非常珍贵的。
Remember me here.
纪念我。
This bread you're eating, this is my body.
这上面的饼就代表着我的身体。
This wine you're drinking, this is my blood, this is my life. Remember me here.
你所喝的酒就代表我的血。纪念我。
So let's take the bread together. Everybody rise.
我们每一位起立，拿起你的饼。
Jesus said, "This is my body, broken for you."
耶稣基督说，这是我的身体，为你破碎舍的。
Do this in remembrance of me.
你们如此行，为的是纪念我。我们一起领受。
In the same way, he took the cup after supper.
饭后，他也照样拿起杯来。
Said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood."
他说，这杯是用我的血所立的新约。
Take this as often as you take it in remembrance of me.
你们如此行，为的是纪念我。
Let's take it together.
我们一起来领受。
Yes, Lord Jesus, we remember.
是的，父神，耶稣基督，我们纪念你。
Lord, we give thanks for the cross.
我们向你为十字架献上感恩。
We thank you for the cross.
我们感谢你的十字架。
Thank you that you make it clear you did it for joy.
使我们知道你为此是甘心乐意，为此是欢欢喜喜的为着我们。
The joy set before you of seeing your redeemed worshiping.
在你面前所赐的喜乐，在你面前的喜乐，你就不以为苦。
Lord, we know that you do not want us feeling shame or guilt.
我们知道你不愿意让我们才活在罪疚之中。
Lord, sometimes we do feel guilty and we are ashamed.
虽然我们仍有罪恶感，甚至我们仍然犯罪。
Lord, I confess that so often I take your grace for granted.
但我们向你承认我们的过犯。有的时候我们将你的救恩视为理所当然，太轻看了。
I live in a way that I think I deserve your grace.
以至于我太过轻看你的恩典，以至于认为我这些恩典都是理所当然的。
I get distracted by petty things.
我为小事而失去我的重心。
I get greedy and selfish and proud.
我变得更加的贪婪，更加的骄傲。
I get critical and judgmental towards others.
我变得会开始批判别人。
Lord, we come before you again to say we want to be revived by your Spirit, cleansed by your blood, full of your forgiveness.
主啊，我们再度来到你的面前，说主啊，你的宝血来洁净我。
Thank you that your desire is for us to feel forgiven and full of grace and joy.
谢谢你，让我们知道我们是蒙你所爱，蒙你所拯救，满有主的恩典的。
So Lord, with great confidence, we stand before you. We believe in your salvation.
所以我们站在你的面前，我们充满信心，因为你拯救了我。
With great confidence, we confess our sin and ask you to revive us with your Spirit.
我们向你来承认我们的过犯，愿你重生，使我们的生命重新被你所复兴。
With great confidence and great hope, we believe in your salvation.